I feel, well, I came this morning feeling really excited that those of you who know me, who've heard me speak before, won't be at all surprised. But actually, I feel now, just on holy ground. That's what I feel. And I don't often feel that. Not because particularly what I'm going to say, because I'm saying it, but because I have a sense that, as Matt says, this is what God wants you to hear. And so I want you to try and ignore me and hear God this morning. I know you'll hear me, because that's part of the deal. But if you get beyond me and hear the Holy Spirit, catch what he's saying. Because I do sense that there's is really important. Let me pray, because otherwise I shan't get my thoughts together. Father God, I thank you that you know you love each one of us, that you not only know us, but you know some strange things about us. You know how many hairs there are on our head. And I found that just why? Why do you need to know that, Lord? And yet you do. But it's because you know us so intimately that it's not just you know every hair's on our head. You know how many nerves there are in our bodies. You know the very innermost things about our bodies, about our souls, about our spirits. And this morning, as I try and express some of the things that you shared with me, the things that I've read about you, the things I know about you, will you help each one of us to catch again that sense of who we are in you, and therefore what we can go out there and do and be for you that we haven't been able to do before this moment. So just help us to catch that, but help us to catch that not in a serious way, which perhaps I sense at this moment, this holy ground, but I want us to catch that so that we catch it in the fun sense as well, that you're not here to lay something heavy upon us. You're here to bring us freedom to be ourselves, to go out of this place with more confidence in who you created us to be, not with a weight upon our shoulders. So would you just help me to speak that word in a free way? Help us to receive it so that we step out in freedom this morning. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, see. So, my task this morning is to do a bit of an introduction into this, who am I? And I am excited because God's been doing quite a work in me over this last, perhaps 5 or 6 years, but particularly over the last couple of years, in who I am. And I actually stand here this morning with immeasurably more confidence than I did 6 years ago, than I did 2 years ago, even than I did a year ago. And whether or not you know it, I know it. And I'm not standing here quaking inside as a nervous wreck because I might not get it right, I might miss something out, I might fumble over my words, but actually, that does not matter. And it will not stop me being me in Christ. And I want you to catch that this morning, not just for me. So, when I ask you the question, somebody asks you the question, who are you? I wonder what you answer. Perhaps just turn to the person next to you, and I'm in danger here of letting it go, but turn to the person next to you and pretend you don't know them. Give them a couple of things about yourself. Tell them something that says, who am I? Who are you? Somebody you don't know, somebody you don't know very well. So husbands and wives aren't allowed to talk to each other. Talk to the person on the other side of you. You have half a minute. Okay. You need to round it off now. I only gave you a very short moment to do it. And I know you won't have told them all that you need to tell them, but coffee's coming. And you can finish off your introduction later. Okay. Now then, how many of you introduce yourselves by your name? How many said what you did as your job or as a person? I'm impressed. How many of you described whether you were married or not, and a bit about your family? What on earth did you talk about? How many of you described perhaps the university you went to, or the school you go to, or the whatever? The work you do? What else did you talk about then? Because not many of you put your hands up. I'm really intrigued now to know what you said. Okay. Okay, why Malcolm? Do you know who you are? What's the relevance, Malcolm? Okay. No, that's what I'm just finding out. Perhaps you all need to go and ask Malcolm. Just stand up, Malcolm. For all those like me that might want to know how, who you are, and like Les Miserables, does it is appropriate, that's Malcolm. You can go and have a coffee with him later. Thank you. But don't you find, though, it's a bit different in here because a lot of us know each other, but isn't it true to say that when you do meet somebody you don't know, your name, your marriage, your sort of family, place, the job you do, the place you live, are often the things we express ourselves as, aren't they? Even if you lot didn't do it, you've spoilt it, really. But anyway, that is how we describe ourselves. And yet, that is only a sort of a picture of who we are. It's not who we are inside. In Freedom in Christ, it's a lovely picture. We have a cartoon on there that when they talk about who you are, it's as if you chop your hand off. Would I still be me? If I chop my leg off, would I still be me? And there's this rather gruesome picture of a man with bits of his body got off. And the same's true, that if we took away your job, if we took away your education, actually, there's something about you would still be you. And so if we're not careful, we define ourselves by the wrong things. But actually, our identity and who we are has those elements in it. So we mustn't lose those things. So we need to look at how our identity is formed and then what happens to us that spoils our identity. Because many of us have a spoiled identity, I think. So if we look just very quickly, I've just mentioned a few of them. Our identity is formed by lots of those things, but particularly by our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents and our whatever the next level is, whatever. The DNA that we arrive with that comes via all those things, that's, I don't understand how it all happens. Beth will tell us later, maybe. She's studying genetics at the moment, so she's the woman for that job. But the essence of who we are, or the essence of our bodies and our makeup, is DNA. But then we have how our parents treat us, bring us up, speak to us, the experiences we get as we're growing up. And if it's not our parents, it's the carers, our grandparents, our friends who are there. And depending on who of those people bring you up, and actually how they themselves are and what they themselves feel about themselves, depends on how we turn out, if you like. So if you've had some difficult times in your past and it's not been dealt with in a way, you're not helped to deal with it, you can come out feeling like the world's against you. Equally with our education, we go through our education system and you can come out of that feeling pretty good about yourselves, or you can come out of it feeling pretty rubbish. And there's a whole host of things in between. The media, I think, plays a big part in who we are today. Somehow we lose sight of ourselves because of what other people around us tell us, the images we have, the things that are spoken to us. And all these things and so many more things that you could go away and just explore for yourself what has influenced you, bring me to this place today. They bring you to this place today. Some are good, some are not so good, some are really rubbish. But actually, all those things are still don't necessarily define me as me. They almost come and sit upon me and cause me to be slightly restricted in one place, very restricted in another, very free in another, a little bit okay in another. And if we're not careful, when we come into our place in the kingdom of God, as our place as children of God, those things still restrict us. Those of you who were here just before Christmas, excuse me, will remember Kate came and told a little bit of her story. Kate became a Christian last year. She hadn't had a Christian upbringing, and she was telling us what had gone on. And those of you will remember, she said that as she'd left home, having had a happy childhood, she then got into some bad company, and she began to put on other things. Things began to happen to her. So she put on a cardigan and said that was hate. She put on a jacket and said that was rejection. She put on another cardigan and said that was pain. And so she went on till the end. She was stood there with her arms out here because she got about 8 cardigans, jumpers, jackets. Do you remember? And actually, she'd become something she wasn't. She couldn't move as she could without those things on. And then she told you that as God began to do some work in her life, as the Holy Spirit began to do it, she began to find that layers were falling off her. And she was able to stand there without those all the extra layers, free to be Kate once again. And that was a lovely picture of what God's going to do. And the trouble is, if we haven't got our identity right, and if we're wearing some of those cardigans and jackets and extra coats and layers, we act in a way that isn't us. So Kate's there walking around with that, you know, there. She couldn't have played badminton like that. She couldn't have done all sorts of things because she was restricted. And so the same is true for us, that when we feel significant or important, we can go out and do some significant and important things. If we're feeling actually that we are fairly unimportant and useless, actually we don't go and do those significant things. We don't even start to imagine we could do it. It restricts us. Same is true if we're feeling secure or safe. We'll go and about things. If actually we're feeling quite vulnerable and insecure, we don't do things. You take an example of, you know, if you feel safe in your town, you can go for a walk. If you don't feel safe in your town, you don't go for a walk. You know, they're not just things about us as inside people. They restrict us outside. And I just want us to look quickly, although my notes weren't quick, at how we go from that place of restriction to a place of freedom. And I have to say that for some that process is quite quick, and like for Kate, there was a part of the process she's been through that has happened almost without her awareness, she said. She came into the kingdom of God, she just fell in love, and those layers started to come off. Now for others of us, those layers haven't come off as easily and as quickly. Some of us have needed help from other people. Some of us it's taken a long time. But I want to say to you this morning that I know the layers that you've gathered, it is possible to take them off and lay them at the foot of the cross. So if you go away with nothing else, go away with that sense of hope. Oh, I'm so far away from my notes now, what do I do? Oh, it's scary. I hate my notes. I wish I just didn't have notes at all. I'd be much better. Oh, dear. One of the things is that I want us to discover is who am I in terms of our inner being? And that's who am I in Christ? You see, lots of the things that happened to us as we got to this point, or to the point where we became a Christian, are to do with our body and our soul. But when we become a Christian, We are told, we've been born again, or spirits have been born, reborn. Because back in the day, when God created us in the very beginning, he created man and woman, and he created them in the image of God. They were good. They were very good. And actually, at that time, in the Garden of Eden, they didn't have to worry about anything. They didn't need anything. They didn't have to go searching for anything. God provided everything. And they would never have needed to know that. I don't think anybody would have asked them the question, who are you? Because they knew who they were. They were children of the living God. They just were, without all the problems that we have. And so when they then went and did the very thing that God asked them not to do, sin stepped in and they were spoilt. And God said they were now dead. But they weren't dead physically. It actually says they went on to live for sort of about another 900 years or something, which is quite a long time. I'm not sure that I'd want to live that long, but they were still good. But actually something happened between them and God, that the relationship with God was broken. And because of that, our relationship with God got broken too. That has just gone down the generations. We read it. It says, sin disturbed relations with God in everything and everyone, it says in Romans 5. And therefore, we didn't have that relationship with God again. So when we become Christians, what happens is that our spirit's reborn, and we step into, or back into, that relationship with God that we very first should have had. And it's there that our identity becomes clear, because we take the layers off us and we find out who we are. The exciting thing is that although sin came in, man sinned and spoiled what God had created, God knew that that was always a possibility. I think he actually knew it was going to happen. Ephesians 1, it says, even before he made the world, so that's even before he made the first man, even before the world was created and there was light and darkness, even before all of that, it says God loved us and chose us. That's awesome, isn't it? I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome. Because when we go, oh, I'm not very good, I don't match up to this, I don't do that, I'm not good at this, I can't do that, I've messed up here, I've done this wrong. Actually, God loved us knowing all that. He knew all that. And what he actually wanted to do at that moment was to adopt us into his family. I'll read the whole of that those two verses in Ephesians. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this is the incredible thing. This is what he wanted to do. It gave him great pleasure. Every time I've read Ephesians 1 this year, that just excites me. So excites me. I hope it excites you. Because he didn't just go, and I've said this before, heaven, he didn't just go, oh yeah, I'll have Janet, she comes with the deal. Oh dear, I'll put up with her. No, he went, yes, Janet's in my family. I want her. And the same is true for you. If I had time, we'd go around and say that to everybody. Because it is true for every single one of us. He didn't get you, by chance, the drag ends of the bag, the family. No, he said, I chose you. And so spiritually we were reborn, we became a child of God. And as we became a child of God, we had a new identity. We became, well, not a new one actually, although that's what the Bible says, we are a new creation. But actually he took us back to what he originally planned, that we were his children. And I just think, again, that is just such an incredible, incredible thing. But it was even more incredible when I began to read this week, again, Ephesians 1. I was saying to Matt, I actually got to Monday morning, after our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And those who were visitors, during our time in January, we were praying and fasting and reading Ephesians 1 every day. And by the end of 21 days of reading Ephesians 1, we'd felt we'd read Ephesians 1 quite well, I think, didn't we? Yeah, and I was ready on Monday morning for a change of reading. Not because I hadn't enjoyed it, but actually I was just going, I'll just have a break. Well, that was okay Monday morning, but Tuesday morning I was back in Ephesians 1 and have been ever since. And this is what I discovered. That as I was reading it in January, I kept reading the word inheritance. You did too, because it's in there three times in the New Living Translation. Doesn't use the same word in the Message and some of the other translations, but in the New Living Translation it says inheritance. And a number of times during the time I read it, I was thinking, what is that inheritance? What is that inheritance? But I was sort of in moving on, and I was moving on, thinking about other things. But on Tuesday morning, this word inheritance just struck me afresh, and I was back in Ephesians 1. But I was back in Ephesians 1 with inheritance because I read Romans 8. And this is what I read in preparation for today. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And that I know that. You've heard me say lots of times, I am a child of God through and through. Wherever you cut me, I'm like a bit of rock. I know I am a child of God, no doubt. But this is the next line that took me by surprise, really. Although I know it, but it took me by surprise. It says, and since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. And it sort of stopped me in my tracks. Because I know I'm a child of God. But then I was thinking, if I'm his heir, there has to be an inheritance. And it all made sense to me. Now, I probably knew that all the time. But you know, sometimes you just see things afresh. And for me, it came freshly to me that as an heir of Christ, an heir of God, because I am his child, I have an inheritance. Now, as I've looked up what inheritance means and the ins and outs of it all, one of the things I discovered was you can't be an heir unless there's been a death. You can be an heir apparent or an heir, I can't remember what the other word is, John, what's the, when you're not a titled, I can't remember what the other one is. Anyway, if you have a title, you can become an heir, you can be an heir apparent because that's, there is the possibility of inheritance. But if you're not royalty or there's not a title, you're an heir. You going to tell me, Stephen? No? Anyway, there's something else. But you can't be an heir without a death, and you can't have an inheritance, therefore, without a death. And I saw it then that we are heirs because of Jesus' death. We have an inheritance because of Jesus' death. And our inheritance is what we're going to discover over these next few weeks about our identity and who we are in Christ. Because of his death, we have been given all sorts of things that are not because you've deserved it, they're not because you've earned it, it is because of who you are. Shall I say that again? You inherit it not because you've earned it or because you deserve it, it's because of who you are. And so our identity in Christ, our inheritance today, isn't because any of us are any good. It's not because we've done the right things and therefore we get well done, you can have a little reward. It's because We have become children of God. And today, if you haven't become a child of God, or you're not sure if you're a child of God, you can't have the inheritance. But actually you can, because you can step in today and become a child of God today. Talk to one of us afterwards, we'll help you, because it's dead easy, it's simple, and it's about finding out who you really are. An inheritance in modern law apparently is to do with property. So if the law people talk about inheritance, they are just talking about property and money and possessions. But actually, we often talk about inheritance in all sorts of other ways, don't we? We talk about the inheritance we've got from our families. Sometimes we might say, I've inherited my bad eyesight from them. I've inherited an illness from them. I've inherited my good nature. We've inherited all sorts of things. And the same is true for us in Christ. That because we are his heirs, because we are his children, because of the death of Jesus, because we're heirs, we have our inheritance. We have inherited a whole load of stuff. The trouble is, so often, we, because of the baggage and the extra layers we've put on, when we become a Christian, we actually don't see what we've been given, because it's all buried under the many, many layers. And we have to uncover it. Now, I'm not here today to help us uncover it, because we haven't got time. I haven't got time to do that, and this I've got. But it's, I just want to sow that seed into your thinking, that as different people come in the next few weeks and share a little bit more of who we are in Christ, I want to tell you, prick your ears up and go, this is part of my inheritance. This is what I have a right to. One of my favourite verses about being a child of God is, so I'm just going to see if I can find it, because I've got it written out, to make sure I quote it correctly. Which piece of paper is it? This one. It says, but to all who believed him, that's who believed in Jesus, and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. When you've done one bit, you have the right. And the same is true with our inheritance. It's our right. It's there because it's there. But so many of us don't ever pick up our inheritance. I mean, if any of you got a letter to tell you that you'd inherited £1 million or even £10,000, most of us would be at the solicitor's door tomorrow morning waiting for him to arrive, wouldn't we? But how many of us are at God's door saying, what's this inheritance you've got for me? How many of us? You know, I know I haven't been. I'm not pointing the finger at you. I'm not telling you off. Do you know what I mean? But I am now. I'm at God's door going, come on, I'll have a bit more of this. And in fact, I have received a bit more of it because I've begun to take hold of what God said in his word, and I've gone, well, I'll have some of that. As God's been saying to me, well, you don't need to put up with that bit of baggage you've got, that extra coat, that extra layer. And do you know, it's so simple. I've got a prayer that I've been praying for the last 6 weeks, 2 months maybe. And one part of it, I'll read to you. I'm not going to read it all because it's my prayer. It's my personal dealing with some stuff in life. But this bit, two bits of it, have so impacted me, and you could all go away and speak these out and they could impact you too. And it goes like this. It says, I announce the truth that I am created by God, loved by God, chosen by God, placed by God, and called by God to love, serve, worship, honour, and obey him, and do the good things he created for me. Now, I can't tell you how much that has changed my thinking. I've said it, I can't say every single morning for the last 2 months, because I haven't. I've failed on a few mornings, I've missed it. But actually, most mornings for the last 2 months, that has been part of my prayer. And every time I do that, even now, I'm going, yeah, I am created by God. Yeah. Yeah, do you know, I'm loved by God. Do you know, I've been chosen by God. I've been placed by God. Carefully. I've got another part of it that explains a little bit more about how I've been placed. And I've been called by God. I didn't slip in the back door by mistake. He called me. And the same is true for you. The other bit of my prayer is I'm declaring some Bible verses over myself as well. And this is the very first Bible verse that I pray, I speak out every morning. The Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. I can't do it without giggling. Because, do you know, every time I read that, the Lord is my strength and shield, something in me goes, yes! And if I'm in the house on my own, I do occasionally let out a little yippee. I might even do it when the house has got people in it, but I am a little bit more reserved then. But I'm not declaring anything about how good I am, how competent I am, how much I've done or haven't done. I am just going, the Lord is my strength and shield. I will trust him. I challenge you to go away and speak that over yourself for the next week and come back next week and tell me it hasn't done you good. Because I just think you can't do it. I just don't think you can do it. And I think I'm maybe going to stop there because I think I've shared what I want to share. That there is something about who God has created us to be that is underneath all the layers that you have been given, like I have been given. We have been given this sense of being called, being chosen by God. That means that the things that I'm dealing with, the lies that I've listened to for many, 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 many years, far too long to declare it, I'm now, by speaking those words out, I am putting them out of my life. They're going. And I know it. Because even that word, I'm placed by God, is something that I have struggled and struggled and struggled with. Many of you won't believe it because you don't see what's inside you. You just see this person out here. But inside me, I have argued with God on days because I felt like I'm not placed correctly. I've been out of place. And so every time I go, I have been placed by God. I'm going to the enemy and yes to God. And so you might not have that struggle in you like I have, but you'll have got other struggles. You'll have got other things that people have laid upon you, that you've received, that have been given to you, that you've just picked up along the way, because we pick up rubbish along the way in life, don't we? And we need to be able to take hold of who we are in Christ. And as I say, we are going to look at them over the next few weeks. And I will challenge you. I will set you the challenge of making a declaration every day this week. It doesn't have to be mine, but a declaration of truth about what God has said about you. Particularly if it's something you go, whoa, I'm not sure I can believe that. But those things that actually God wants in us, that we are loved, we are special, we are children of God, it does you good. I haven't shared all that I've my notes at all, but I hope you've heard my heart. I hope you've heard something to go away and wrestle with. And actually, I just want to say again, you don't have to put up with the rubbishy layers that people have put upon you, that the life has put upon you, that your education put on you, that your job title has put on you. You don't have to be defined by those things. We can be defined by who we are in Christ.